Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to WeWork India Management Limited's Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. The presentation in this call is a concise version of the presentation uploaded on the company's website and shared with the stock exchanges. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Participants connected on webcast may click on the Ask a Question tab to join the question queue after the management's opening remarks. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Virwani, MD and CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. Good morning, and thank you for joining us for our first quarter FY27 results. Before we get into the numbers, one frame of how to read this quarter: look at us on a year-over-year basis, not sequentially, for two reasons. We're in a growth cycle, and in a growth cycle, fixed costs arrive before revenue does. When we sign new centers, rent and operating expenses start immediately. The desks fill up over the quarters that follow. So any quarter where we're expanding hard will look softer sequentially, even as the business underneath it gets stronger. This is not a warning sign. It's a model working as it's designed. Second, Q4 of FY26 carried a one-time customization revenue that isn't a recurring feature of this business. Stack Q1 FY27 against the quarter sequentially, and you're not comparing it like for like. Year-on-year is a fair test. It measures us against ourselves at the same point in last year's cycle. Before this year's CapEx and without last year's one-off, and on that basis, every metric is compounding. Let's zoom out for a second because this is a good market to be compounding in. India's flex space keeps taking share from traditional leasing. Quarter after quarter, it is no longer an experiment for occupiers. It is core to how enterprises plan real estate. WeWork India sits at the forefront of that shift. The largest branded flex network in the country, concentrated in markets where the enterprise and GCC demand is growing the fastest. Everything I'm about to walk you through is what leading that market looks like. And with that, let's get into the operational performance. We closed the quarter at 79 centers across eight cities, 9.1 million sq ft operational, and about 133,600 desks. 11 more centers and nearly 20,000 more desks than a year ago. Growth of just over 18.5%, right in line with the pace of the flex category itself. We serve about 113,000 members today, up 26,000 over the year, close to a 30% growth. Members are growing faster than desks. We added roughly 7,000 more members than desks in this year. That's why occupancy climbed to about 84.9%, even as we keep adding space, more than 8 points higher than a year ago. Mature centers are running at 87.5%, and NPS stood strong at a +78. And the base is sticky. 52% of desk sales in the network come from existing members, with renewal rates up to 84% this quarter. That's the engine behind this year's expansion. Revenue for the quarter was up to 698 crores, up 28.5% year-on-year. EBITDA was 138 crores and a 19.8% margin, which is up 69% from last year. PAT was about 53.2 crores, which is against 8.4 crores last year, roughly a 6.5x jump and a 608 basis points margin expansion. One number needs context before Cliff walks you through the details. Q4 FY26 included a one-time customization revenue I mentioned a moment ago. It won't repeat this quarter. And the second reason, year-on-year and non-sequentially, is the right lens today. On capital, ROCE was up 28.6% this quarter, more than three times where we stood a year ago. Free cash from operations grew 176%, and net debt is down close to 90%. Even as we nearly doubled our capex, FCFS came in negative 46.1 crore simply because H1 is a growth-intensive quarter or growth-intensive half of the year. 188 crores of that capex landed in this quarter alone. So growth costs come first and then returns follow. Just a closer look at the market that we operate in. Q2 calendar year 26 leasing hit 24.6 million square foot, a record quarter capping a record first half of 45.5 million square foot. Flex led that market for the third straight quarter, up 89% to 11.4 million square foot in the first half. Its share of all office leasing has more than doubled in five quarters into 27%. Roughly 55% of India's occupiers already use Flex, and we're on track for about two-thirds by 2027. Domestic companies now account for 46% of leasing, and more than half of that goes to Flex operators. Premiumization is riding alongside it. 76% of the quarter's completions were in green certified, and 70% of leasing went into buildings that are under 10 years old. Exactly the class of assets that we operated. Our footprint sits across the eight cities where India's business growth is concentrated. Bangalore remains home and our largest market, 30 centers and nearly 52,000 desks. Around it, new corridors are scaling fast. Hyderabad is up 68%, Chennai is up 66%, Delhi more than tripled off a smaller base, Gurgaon up 23%. We're consolidating at home and building where demand is moving the fastest. We operate 9.1 million square foot today, add signed leases and LOIs of another 2.9 million, and total contracted capacity is about 12 million square foot, about 179,000 desks. That's a 32% capacity growth and nearly 44,000 desks that are already locked in. First half additions are on track for 22,000 desks in this heavy opening stretch of the cycle. By March of 2027, we expect to be operating about 10.3 million square foot and around 155,000 desks. Beyond that, FY28 and FY29 supply is already in negotiation. Demand is showing up in sales. We sold about 12,700 desks this quarter, which is up 28% year over year. April was our single biggest sales month with about 7,500 desks, and we did this without discounting. Pricing multiples held steadily through the year. Worth repeating, 52% of what we sold went to members that are already with us, and that's not one quarter trend, that's been the base compounding. On who drives the revenue, 77% came from enterprise members, 65% from global companies, and North America riding the GCC wave, is 46% of the revenue on its own. No single sector dominates. Technology leads at 28%, BFSI at 17%, and the rest is well spread. Our top 10 members are just 22% of revenue combined, and there's no concentration risk here. That's the demand side, a growing market, record sales, and an expanding base. Let me also give you the underlying contracted picture before I hand it over to Cliff for the details. The best place to start is what's already contracted, locked-in revenue, future revenue of our members that our members have already signed up for. Stands at about 3,063 crores, which is up 60% from 2,105 crores last year. Locked-in rent obligations only grew 30% in the same period. So contracted revenue is growing twice as fast as contracted cost. For every rupee of new rent that we committed to this year, we added almost 4.7 rupees of contracted revenue. With that, let me hand it over to Cliff to talk you through our occupancy metrics and the rest of the financials.
Thank you, Karan. Good morning, everyone. Karan mentioned members grew faster than capacity. Here's the consistency behind that. Capacity grew 17% year-over-year. Members grew 30%. Member growth ran at 1.7 times the pace of capacity addition. Portfolio occupancy moved from 76.5% a year ago to 84.9% today. Look specifically at growth centers, those open less than 12 months. A year ago, that cohort sat at 45% occupancy. Today's growth centers are at 65%. There's a timing element to that, but it also shows new buildings filling up meaningfully faster than they used to, which matters given how much supply we're adding. Total revenue, which is core workspace, RaaS, and digital combined, came to 698 crores for the quarter, up 28.5% year-on-year. Every segment grew year-on-year. Revenue from operations was 687 crores, up 28%. Core workspace grew 30% to 603 crores. Value-added services grew 10%, and digital grew 27% to 26 crores. Digital is still under 4% of revenue, but those four products monetize the same square foot more than once and run it close to an 80% EBITDA margin. The stack contributes materially more to the bottom line than the top line. This quarter's shareholder letter has a full spotlight on it, worth a read. On a sequential basis, both core workspace and digital grew. Core up 3.4% and digital up 22%, which shows the underlying business compounding steadily every quarter to quarter. Now, the one number that needs context, our RaaS line includes parking, facilities, customization, and late fees. Last quarter, we recorded about 47 crores of customization income. This quarter, it was 9.5 crores. That's not a slowdown. On the ground, customization demands remain strong, but by its nature, this revenue is lumpy across quarters, tied to when specific fit-out projects close. Strip customization out and the rest of VAS grew about 20% quarter on quarter. This is exactly why Karan opened by framing today's numbers year on year. A quarter that includes a large one-off like last quarter customization income will never compare cleanly to one that doesn't. On profitability, center level EBITDA was 186 crores, up 52% over the last year at a 27.8% margin, nearly a 5 points of improvement. The cost side explains why. Rent per square foot was flat over the year. OPEX per square foot only rose 5.6%, while revenue grew 28%. That gap is our operating leverage. Portfolio break-even occupancy is just 56.6%. And even our newest growth centers are comfortably above that. Sequentially, center-level EBITDA moved from 212 crores to 186 crores, a dip of 27 crores, entirely explained by the 37 crores of higher customization income recognized last quarter. The underlying business is more profitable, not less. Mature center EBITDA actually grew from 173 crores in Q4 FY26 to 181 crores in Q1 FY27. At the company level, EBITDA was 138.3 crores, up 69%, with a margin at 19.8% against 15% a year ago. PAT was 53.2 crores against 8.4 crores, with a PAT margin moving from 1.5% to 7.6%. The sequential dip here is the same story. It's the flow-through of last quarter's large customization revenue, and not a change in trajectory of the business. As we begin our CapEx cycle, roughly 22,000 desks in H1 of FY27, it's worth contrasting against the last expansion, which started exactly a year ago. EBITDA grew from 81 crores to 138 crores. Margin from 15% to 20% year on year. Last year's cycle came with a margin dip of almost 6 points. This time it's roughly half that. The portfolio is more resilient and the drag from heavy expansion is shrinking with each cycle. This kind of margin expansion and contraction is a natural part of any growth cycle, driven by occupancy ramp and one-time income like customization that comes with capacity expansion. It's precisely why we're asking you to read this quarter and every growth cycle quarter on a year-on-year basis. Capital returns tell the same story. ROCE was 28.6% this quarter against 9.1% a year ago. We've tripled our return on capital in a year where we've also expanded the capital base. Which brings us to cash and the balance sheet. Free cash from operations was 141.9 crores, up 176%. We've invested 188 crores of capex this quarter, nearly double last year. And even so, FCFF was negative 46 crores, essentially flat with a year ago. We doubled our investment in growth and our own operations absorbed all of it. Net debt is 31.6 crores, down 89% from 297 crores a year ago. Against 371 crores of cash on hand, net debt to EBITDA is 0.06 times. Cost of borrowing is down from 10.4% to 8.5%, and our rating moved from an A- to an A+ over the year. Handing it back to Karan to take you through some more.
Thank you, Cliff. So before we close, a few minutes on what defines our next chapter. Everything so far is a physical network, but our 113,000 members don't just need this. When we asked them, the answer was consistent. They buy dozens of business services beyond the workspace, which include transport, hiring, insurance. All of this is scattered across vendors, negotiations, and invoices. They told us that they rather do all of this through us, and that was a clear opportunity to get a larger share of what the members already spend with customers who already trust us. So on the 15th of July, we launched Member Services, a business services platform built exclusively for our members that lives inside the WeWork India app. Here's how it works. We created a marketplace of business service partners and negotiated enterprise-level pricing and standards with each one of them. Every member gets those terms. Whether you're a Fortune 500 or a 5-person startup, there's no difference. It works across every WeWork India location on a single platform, one place to discover services, engage partners, manage billing, and with us running the workflow. We're starting with what members ask for the most, which is admin and IT, which includes employee transport, hardware rentals, network services and HR, hiring, staffing, insurance, well-being, a dedicated set of services for GCCs as well, which includes setup, legal, accounting, talent, finance, and marketing. Legal, marketing, and sustainability will follow in the coming phases. This is what we mean when we say work is evolving from standalone workspaces into integrated ecosystems. We spent years building the physical network and the technology layer on top of it. Member services is that layer taking shape. Let me leave you with the year-on-year picture because it says everything about the business and where the business is headed. Revenue up 28%, EBITDA up 69%, profit is up 6 times, return on capital tripled, net debt is down 90%, our biggest sales month ever, we had more than half of it coming from members itself growing with us, and the deepest committed supply chain in our supply pipeline in our history. FY27 is a year of growth, and the case for it has never been cleaner. Thank you for your confidence and that you continue to place with us. And with that, I'm happy to take your questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Participants connected on audio call may press star and one on their touchtone phone. Participants connected on webcast may click on the Ask a Question tab available on your screens to join the question queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. In order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, kindly limit your questions to only two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. The first question is from Adhidev Chattopadhyay from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First is on the 15,000 to 16,000 seats which we may open in this current quarter. Will there again be some customization revenue one time which may be booked as you get into the second quarter? And how should we look at the profitability of the new seats? How quickly they would ramp up to EBITDA breakeven? That is the first question. Second question is, we had given a capex guidance of 500 to 600 crores for the year in the last quarter. So do we stick to that guidance, or is there any revision to that number? Thank you. These are my questions.
Thank you. So yes, we have close to about another 20,000 seats that are basically going to open between the last quarter and essentially by October. Like we mentioned, there's almost 6,000 of those that are opening which are managed office deals already, some of which have already opened in July. As we said, July already saw almost sort of 6,000 desks open in the last sort of 15 days. Margins are holding as expected. And if you look at the growth center occupancies, they're already well above break even. So, all the buildings are actually delivering profitability. All the cohorts are delivering profitability to the business. We see that, that will continue to kind of ramp up, and the sales velocity that we're on also kind of holds good to make sure that, these buildings are actually ramping up in the way that we want. In terms of customization revenue, I probably just touch on that a little bit. We have always had customization revenue as a part of our VAS over the years. Typically, we used to do between, 30 and 50 crores of customization revenue. Last year, because we did some extremely large managed office deals like, JP Morgan, T-Mobile, Amazon, etc., there was a huge amount of customization that these companies kind of asked for, which led to this kind of revenue growth, these one-time revenues actually hitting in basically in Q3 and Q4 of last year. With that, with that lumpiness, or maybe to avoid the lumpiness, what we decided to do is actually change the treatment of customization in this coming year. So in terms of, customization where we have centers already built out and members sort of ask for us, we will continue to recognize those as, in one-time sort of revenues. But these large customizations, which actually are, specifically to one customer in managed office, what we are going to start doing is basically amortizing it over the complete term of the member's commitment itself. So this will now, from this year onwards, actually smoothen out any type of lumpiness that we basically saw last year. And you'll have a more recurring base of customization revenue as the quarters kind of flow through. So typically in the range of between, 10 to 15 crores in a quarter is what we kind of expect will be run rate when you look at this customization kind of revenue. Some quarters will be a little bit higher, some quarters will be lower. But that's really the range that we're looking at for, this coming year. So ideally, we don't have this issue again popping up. It was just because of, a very big growth year last year and some large deals that we did that this kind of even took us by surprise, as we went through the year. Now, in terms of the capex cycle, we hold good on the guidance of between 500 to 600 crores, that is the visibility that we have today. There might be some change if large managed offices come through the year and we have to deploy some large capex, for delivering those. But that we will know, pretty much by the next quarter if any of that's going to hit, basically by the end of this year.
Sure. That is very clear and concise. Yeah. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Abhinav Sinha from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, Karan, couple of questions. So firstly, on customization revenues, what are the margins on this business?
So typically, it's actually like a full flow-through. You know, the cost that we have is similar to our other, you know, the rest of our business, our normal business, which is essentially, you know, just a fit-out cost that we kind of put through into the space. So this is all revenue that basically flows directly to the bottom line, and it always has been. So there's no real P&L cost apart from, you know, the regular corporate overheads and the sort of like the management fee and like all these other variable costs that we have with our regular revenue itself. There's just no COGS, like rental, et cetera, that actually pertain to, you know, this revenue stream.
Okay. So secondly, last year, if I remember, we had like much higher openings in the first quarter as a proportion of the year, and also the margin dip was higher, and now it appears that in 2Q, our openings should be higher than this quarter, right? Maybe close to 15,000, I guess. So should we see like a margin dip in 2Q as well on a YOY basis or maybe even on a QOQ basis?
We don't foresee the margin dipping. We actually see potentially the margin moving upwards because of the large managed offices that are a component of that expansion coming up in Q2. So nearly 7,000 seats, you know, will be managed office that opens in this quarter. And also the other centers that we have ramping up, we actually have, you know, good pipeline and some of that sales is actually happening. To be honest, you know, the delay was like these seats were actually meant to open in Q1. They just kind of moved literally like a week or two because of some of the design changes that some of these customers asked for. And then one or two centers we intentionally moved to, you know, July rather than June because we just wanted like a better opening, you know, for them. So we feel like we're in a good place. You'll actually see, you know, like we did last year, the margin sort of expanding through the year and as coming quarters come up. I think that slide is why we wanted to kind of just show that where, you know, the base is starting much higher than we did last year in the new CapEx cycle. And we've actually been able to manage to hold the suppression a lot better this year in order to give it a much smoother outlook for the remaining part of the year.
Great. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Siddhant Mahecha from Tusk Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, Karan. Hi, Cliff. Thanks for the presentation. Just quick question. If you could throw some color on the contract backlog, like how do we read that? Is this committed rent over the next 27 months?
Sorry, so yeah, the 3,000, you know, 363 crores is current average commitment, you know, over the portfolio average, which you're right, is about 27 months. As you can see, that's growing, you know, basically has grown almost like 60% year over year. And on a sequential basis also, it's sort of like growing almost like 15%. That will consistently keep adding as the year goes and as these buildings ramp up and we obviously do new sales as well. While rental, which is a committed cost that we have, has only kind of moved up about 200 in the same period.
Got it. So just one follow-up question in that case. Am I reading this right? If it's 3,400 over the next 27 months, that's about 400 odd crores a quarter, but the current operating rent is about 600. So is the 200 non-contracted rent or how do I interpret that?
So just to clarify, this is the remaining amount of commitment that we have, not exactly like the 27 months. It's actually you know, the amount of value that we have remaining in the contract. So each month, you know, some contracts are coming closer to expiry while we're adding basically new contracts at an average of, basically 27 months. So this number will constantly keep compounding to that scale.
Okay, got it. Super helpful. Thanks
and
a lot.
This doesn't account for renewals as well. As you saw, we had about 84% renewal rate, you know, in this quarter. So you at least assume that, you know, there'll be an 84% renewal on 3,300. And then any additions from all of the new velocity or the new sales that we add in the coming quarter.
Got it. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Karan.
And sorry, just the other added thing on this is, you know, obviously the leases or the rental cost, a lot of it has already hit. So this gap should actually, you know, increase as these sort of like commitments keep compounding on top.
Got it.
Thank you. The next question is from Yashas Gilganji from BOB Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. How has the supply pipeline changed since last quarter? Any light you can shed on what could be the approximate supply addition post FY27? Maybe it's new FY29.
Yeah, so we've made operational close to about 500,000 square foot just in the last quarter, which is roughly about 7,000 seats, you know, that have actively opened. Like we spoke about last quarter, for FY27, we are largely locked up, or we've already signed up what we're looking to kind of open within this year. So 10.3 won't move meaningfully, you know, between now and the end of the year. Even for next year, we already have identified our pipeline. We're in the process of basically signing LOIs and leases, which over the next quarter, we'll see more, you know, we'll probably show you more, more of a solid amount for FY28. But you could consider that it will be in a similar range as the kind of growth that we basically seen from last year to this year. So, you know, 10 and a half will be somewhere actually closer to basically 12, you know, odd million open. A lot of the AUM that you're seeing even beyond March of 27, you know, are deals that we signed for FY28, 29. There's some underdevelopment assets also that have been locked up in that portfolio. But we're on track to consistently deliver what we need to. We see no issue on the supply side. We consciously also take a call not to sign up, like, you know, crazy amount upfront, like, you know, too much in advance, because we want that agility in the case that you want to either contract, you know, some capacity growth or potentially expand it also. So we think this visibility of roughly about, like, you know, 12 months of 100%, 18 months of like roughly about 90%, and maybe, you know, 24 months of about 80% is a good place to kind of be. And that's how we continue to kind of roll out the AUM growth.
Okay, understood. I understand that VAS revenues as a percentage of total revenues were lower largely because of the lower customization revenues. But going forward, do we expect a change in the level of VAS revenues, or more like, what's a good level to assume on a full year basis?
I think we've historically been at, you know, 13 to 15% VAS revenues. We think that we'll hold basically at those levels consistently. So 11 to 12% on VAS plus about 3 to 4% on digital, which is what stacks up to that sort of like 16%. That's sort of the levels that we continue to see. We're hoping, obviously, with the launch of member services, you know, over time, there'll be some addition to the bottom line of the margin that this new kind of like delivers for us. But I would sort of like keep it to this guidance. The other thing that, you know, you can see that is growing is digital, which is growing at, you know, faster than the rate of sort of like core revenue. That's another place where you will see some margin expansion and maybe some higher contribution as we get through the year.
All right, that's clear. Thanks, Karan. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Ali Asghar Shakir Please introduce yourself, providing your organization name, and proceed with the questions.
Yeah, hi, this is Ali from Motilal Oswal Mutual Fund. So just wanted to, clarify in terms of your growth guidance. I think we had an indication that we would probably grow somewhere close to about 20% in terms of pre-Ind AS EBITDA. So I just wanted to clarify, there's too much noise in this quarter. One, you mentioned your VAS revenue is down because of whatever one-time accounting that you guys did that is now ironed out, over the course of the lease period. Second, you mentioned obviously you have significant additions, which probably VAS, impacted your EBITDA. So, now that obviously you, would continue to add more seats even next quarter, as you have mentioned, there'll be 15,000 seats. So will the trajectory of pre-Ind AS EBITDA growth of 20% kind of what was indicated will continue for the full year basis if we, declutter the noise on a quarterly basis? When this addition happen, seat addition happen, what kind of impact, do we expect, on a quarterly basis?
Yeah, sure. So I think, the growth obviously you want to look at is on a YOY basis, right? And look, if you look at that, YOY, the EBITDA growth has been almost 70%. So I think we 100% feel very confident that, even as the expansion rolls out and the year rolls out, we will definitely meet the guidance of 20% plus EBITDA growth, and sort of like earnings, sort of revenue and EBITDA growth of, over 20%. And like I mentioned earlier as well, with the new additions coming up, we don't see any, major impact on the margin or the margin percentage. In fact, there will be, really like an expansion in the margin from its current levels for sure. With all of the rollout basically happening by October, we have almost two quarters post that to really drive, portfolio growth and occupancy growth. All of that, as you can imagine, will basically flow through to the bottom line and will continue to balloon EBITDA as Q3 and Q4 actually comes about. We're already starting with such a much higher base, nearly 60 crores of growth, just from last year to this year on the EBITDA base itself, right? So we, just think of this as a starting point, similar to we having last year, right, where we started basically at a base of 82, we ended at about 165 crores. Today we're starting with a base of 138, and we will, end at obviously a much higher level by Q4. Maybe not as much of a steep like step up, but there will be consistent growth as we go quarter over quarter.
Okay, this is clear. So basically 20% annualized growth will be intact. But just a quick clarification here. So in terms of quarterly, how, it should play out, do you think because you are going to have 15,000 seats in Q2, of course, by the way, you could still be better, but QOQ, it may not meaningfully improve. And the entire growth that you're talking about, 20%, will be back-ended in Q3, Q4?
No, it will improve each quarter. The base itself will go up each quarter. So expect definitely a growth on 138 in the coming quarters, and expect that the margin of between 19% to 20% will continue to hold as the expansion happens. Also, as the next quarter comes about, we already have decent visibility of the portfolio. We're already pretty much July is done. We know over the next 2 months what they look like. We've had some large move-ins, of deals. We've done a large deal for, Cognizant. We have, which is opening in Chennai. We have a few large deals which have already actually opened in, in this month itself. And we're feeling good about the next quarter. It will just continue to compound.
Okay. I'm just unclear why the impact will not be there in Q2, because if Q1 you had 600 seats and the impact was so meaningful, then why in Q2, despite adding such a large number of seats and occupancy may not be at optimal level, you think the impact may not be there?
So a lot of the seat additions in this quarter was largely WeWork branded speculative seat additions. A larger portion of next quarter's additions are actually managed office, so there's already some demand back, which, you know, these centers will be opening at basically higher occupancies than, than we did in this quarter. Over and above that, even the other WeWork spaces that we have lined up, we have already pre-filled and sold some of those seats, so we feel good about, you know, the expansion, sort of the margin kind of holding. And, you know, in some cases we'll have some operational rent-free and all of that as well, which will help the business.
Understood. Okay. Thank you so much. Very clear and nice. Thanks for your leader.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Girish Chaudhary from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Some of my questions have been answered, but I have one more. If you could help us understand, we have seen a slight dip in the matured center occupancy rates, right? And even if I look at the number of seats sold during the quarter was around 12,700. And we have done 7,500 just in the month of April, right? But the net addition is only 3,100, right? Which implies around 9,000 odd exits. So if you could just help us understand the nature of the exits.
So I think what you want to look at first is the overall capacity itself, right? If you look at the slide, March of 26, mature building centers had about 110,000 seats, but as of this quarter, they are about 118,000 seats. So almost 8,000 seats based on last year's expansion have now moved into the mature building cohort. Within that, the member count basically grew almost, you know, 5,000 desks between 98,000 to about 103,000. So while there is a slight dip in the matured cohorts, it's largely driven by the extra added capacity that, you know, actually entered this cohort in the last quarter itself. And the total base, so if you look at the EBITDA margin, the center level EBITDA margin, you know, basically of the mature cohorts, right, is roughly holding flat at basically about 28%, even with this new capacity coming up, which is not reflected maybe in this slide, but probably in the other earnings presentation, which we have, you know, posted on the website. But essentially, you'll see that with the increase in the occupancy, or even with a slight dip in the occupancy, but larger capacity actually moving into the mature building cohort, the base of the EBITDA itself has increased and the EBITDA margin of that cohort is actually holding.
Noted. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and just to maybe point out around like the growth centers, right, like while it's at 64 or 65%, you can imagine a lot of these centers have actually opened just last month. Right, basically in the last 3 months itself, and it's still holding at, you know, roughly about 65%, which is far above our break-even occupancies, even with a lot of that expansion happening in the last sort of like 30 days, 45 days as well.
Mr. Chaudhary, hope that answers all your questions.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from Saurabh Gilda from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yep. Hi, I'm audible?
Yes, hello? You are. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks. So most of my questions are answered. So just, you know, on the growth centers part, in terms of capacity, the net decline is just 0.5 or rather 5,000 seats. But the decline in occupancy is rather significant from 73 to 65. So how should one read this? So this is largely the drag led by the new additions that has happened during the quarter, or is there something else?
So two things. One is, a bunch of that cohort moved to mature, like we kind of mentioned, right? So about 8,000 seats that were sitting basically some of the seeds that basically were sitting in growth as of last quarter have now moved to mature. So almost 8,000 shifted cohorts to mature, while 7,000 new additions came in basically in this quarter, and that's the shift in the capacity that, you know, you're seeing. So like I just mentioned about, 7,000 desks which have just opened in the last 3 months are sitting in this growth cohort. Those are fresh new members, fresh new ramp up, that we're seeing. So it's not a like-to-like comparison in terms of the actual buildings from last quarter and then this quarter itself.
So, got it. Very clear. And just a question on capacity addition. So we have been, although on a small base, but the capacity addition on a YOY base has been drastic in cities like NCR, Hyderabad, Chennai. So just as stabilize your capacity in these centers or expand your base in these new markets, do you see any change in margin profile in the way these different markets operate?
There are different margin profiles and, type of centers in each of these markets. So just taking Delhi, as an example, we opened basically in Aero City, which is an extremely premium, micro market. We opened one center there. We are expected to open another center there, towards the end of the year, maybe next year, depending on when the delivery of that happens. These are priced, at between 25,000 to 35,000 rupees a desk. So they are definitely higher priced markets. Hyderabad, Chennai, where you're seeing a lot of that growth, some of that is coming from large managed offices that we've run. So the margin profiles there are significantly higher, but the pricing will be almost half of that of Delhi. So margin profiles, in the southern markets, will be slightly stronger because the spread that we're able to make there is larger, between 2.8 to maybe even higher than 3x versus the spread that we're able to make in more expensive centers is typically, slightly lower, but the quantum of EBITDA ends up being bigger just because of the price. But overall, we're holding the revenue to rent ratio across markets like we mentioned, at basically, 2.9 to
3x. So, got it. That's very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Sukman Arora from Waterfield Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. I'm a little confused on customization revenue. Is the revenue generated from designing the space that may belong to the client, or is it part of the managed office offering? That's question one. And I'll ask another question once you respond to this.
So typically what we were always doing, before we really started doing extremely large managed offices, is that we would build space that was designed as a WeWork. And customers would come and they continue to come and ask us to make changes, either add cabins, they want to, collapse different offices and make a larger office. They need higher networking type of customization, etc. So for all of this, we typically used to just charge them one time to deliver the work. And that was how our customization revenue has been over the last 8 years, and it continued to slowly build from a small revenue stream to, a run rate of basically around like 50 crores prior to last year. Then what happened last year was we started getting and doing these extremely large managed office deals where initially we would spend or build out the space for these customers, but as they sort of moved in or as they sort of like continue through the design process, they continue to ask for a specking up of the space, making changes, adding, new spend, etc., which was over and above what we had priced the deal at or what we had actually committed in terms of pricing. So they said that for anything that we are asking for basically over and above what we've already priced in the contract, we're willing to pay you upfront for the spends. And hence, we actually, bill them upfront and recognize that revenue upfront. I think what we're saying we're going to do, we see this as something that will constantly keep reoccurring as we do these large managed office deals. We're already seeing it in some of the deals that we have coming up. But in order to avoid this lumpiness and to avoid this, you know, sequential issue that we've had basically from last quarter to this quarter, what we decided to do was to treat them as amortized over the contract term when they're actually these large, you know, pertaining specifically to one client and one type of customization and managed office, and kind of pushed, you know, with it, because these assets essentially belong to us and we can really amortize it over the contract term of the customer. From a cash basis, you will see that our cash flow will increase in quarters where we actually get this upfront, you know, sort of customization, but the revenue will be a lot more smoother. So from a cash flow perspective, it will help us in continuing to deliver the CapEx spend with all of the accruals that we have, but the revenue will be smoothened out through the contract term. Over the next few years, you will see this revenue stream continuously building up as we do basically more managed office deals with this customization revenue, and we expect that the customization revenue becomes a significant portion of the overall revenue over the next few years.
Understood. This is helpful. So my second question is, managed office is basically built to suit office space. So what stops REITs from doing this? Because a lot of REITs already do build-to-suit solutions for their clients. Can there be potential competition coming in from REITs? Just a fundamental question.
So I think, you know, fundamentally what we're seeing in the market is customers opting for an operator not because they are looking at space just in a single asset or a single location. They want a partner that can help them basically through their entirety of their growth. So typically, customers use us in multiple formats. You know, I'll just give you an example for Amazon. Amazon has seats with us in Bangalore in a WeWork space, in Pune with us in a WeWork space, and we just delivered a managed office for them in Chennai, which is a much larger dedicated customized space for them. And by having this sort of relationship, having the ability to come to one operator who can, you know, manage my entire workspace requirements or infra requirements across the country or even actually globally in our case is, you know, one of the added advantages here. Secondly, you know, a lot of REITs don't want to get into basically managing the FM part, you know, of these customers. It's a high service level, high experience level ask that a lot of these customers are asking for internally itself. Right, and we are able to do that because we specialize in that, and we understand what these kind of customers want. Are there customers that just go to, you know, landlords and say fit out the space? 100%. I think that will, you know, obviously continue. But as you can see, occupiers that are using Flex are now almost 55%. Right, so there's a clear shift in what and how customers want to operate this real estate and want to keep it liquid. The other thing is that with REIT, you have to give a longer commitment. You know, they're not willing to do deals at 3 years or 5 years. They want you to give a 9-year commitment. And if they're investing the CapEx, they will definitely need that commitment. However, we are able to, you know, offer more flexibility because we have the confidence that if that customer moves out, we can re-lease that space or we can convert it into a WeWork or whatever it is. Right. So it's just a layer on top of, you know, the underlying asset class, similar to maybe what you've seen in hotels and hospitals, right, where an operator and branded led play becomes basically the marriage between the asset ownership and what the customer and the customer experience layer wants. That's really what we're kind of basically bringing together.
This is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Murli Krishnan from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead. Mr. Murali Krishnan.
Yeah, am I audible?
Please proceed. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. So just wanted one question. So on this, you know, how should one read about the actual brokerage outflow and the accrual part? Just you can explain on the flow of movement from being recognized and the payment. So yeah, that's the only question I had.
Yeah, sure. So let me take that. So brokerage typically is amortized over the period of or the commitment term or the term of the deal. So the cash flow is an immediate outflow because, you know, it's invoiced and paid immediately, but the recognition of expense is over the term of the contract. So that's how it works. So you will always see a disconnect between what the cash out is and what the P&L number is.
Understood. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Rishit Shah from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. So just one question regarding the two new segments, little new segments. One is Rivet and now the services segment. So in your view, how big can these segments be 1 year, 2 years down the line, and how you're thinking about the margins on these segments? That's it.
So Rivet, I think we've spoken about before. It's at a very nascent stage. We, you know, have some good pipeline for this year. As you can see, we've not actually booked any major revenue in this quarter, but we see some coming through over the next three quarters. So it will, you know, it will increase as the year goes by. But I would look at both of these as really incremental, right, to the bottom line, really. And the way that we see the flow through is, you know, direct to earnings, because none of these have any rental kind of cost. They don't have any asset type of, you know, need. There's no capex requirement to actually like grow these businesses. So Rivet is, you know, anywhere between, let's say, like a 10-15% margin business, but it's a complete 10-15% flow through to PAT, you know, directly, even with member services, you know, with our take rate on a lot of these services. So we have two levels of pricing that we monetization that we have here. One is a listing fee where these service partners are providing us or paying us an initial listing fee itself to be part of the platform. And then we have a take rate of anywhere between, 6 to going up to almost 16%, depending on the type of service as of right now. That take rate could definitely increase as we start providing more value and actually start seeing, you know, revenues flow through. On member services specifically, the way that we are, you know, operating is basically like an e-commerce platform of service where we're facilitating this kind of exchange between the service provider and the customer. And, you know, in a lot of cases, actually, you'll not actually see this flow through revenue, but you'll see it flow through, flow through basically like margin. There'll be one or two services where we recognize the top line, but what we've decided to do is actually make this a pure margin type, business. So actually it will just add basically to the bottom line and the margin expansion on the business.
Perfect. Makes sense. Thank you so much for the answer.
Thank you. The next question is from Ankit Minoja from Adezi Ventures Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Karan, I just want to understand this is about the promoter pledge. So, I mean, could you explain the reason for the promoter share pledge and if there are any kind of plans to reduce it in FY27 or in the short term?
Yeah. So, when we did the IPO basically last year in October, our plans were to be, you know, to raise roughly about 4,000 crores. We pulled that amount back for a variety of reasons, largely, you know, pricing itself. So when we reduced 4,000 to about 3,000 crores, what happened was a stub of the debt that we would have loved to have paid off, you know, remained, which was about 570 odd crores, which continues to be what is pledged against the shares. And today, I think it's roughly about 15%, you know, or maybe around 15% of our shares that are pledged. As the, you know, market cap has improved, we see that pledge releasing slightly. You'll sort of like see some of those shares, I think maybe around 30 lakh shares will get released in the coming quarter, so that pledge amount should come down. Our endeavor is 100% to try to, you know, get this removed or pay off the debt within this financial year, either by sale of assets in the parent business and proceeds actually going out to paying this off, or in, if the pricing, you know, comes to a level that we feel is okay, we would do a block to essentially kind of clear this off, right, and keep this actually completely unpledged. So I think that's the direction that we're going with. And that's the intention on the business.
Yeah, thanks. That's really clear. Appreciate it. And wish you guys luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Hitendra Pradhan from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, just wanted to understand, since there's a lot of renewal coming in, so what are the cost outlays, when there is a renewal that happens, especially for the managed offices part, in terms of the refurbishment or anything?
You're referring to renewals of leases?
Yeah.
Or of managed office transactions.
Right.
Now, which is it? Are you referring to renewals of leases or of managed office transactions?
Managed office transactions when, like, you know, suppose a client is renewing. So what are the terms in terms of the cost outlays, like the refurbishment and all?
If a client is leaving in a managed office situation, typically there is no cost outlay. We have back-to-back commitments with our landlords, and the way that we price those deals also is, you know, recovery of the capex within the term of the client itself. And so from all respects, we have, you know, basically no risk over there. If a customer leaves, we end up, we'll either leave the asset, or if we are able to release it, we'll release it, and that will give another kicker to the portfolio. But in some cases, or, you know, in other cases, we will actually, like, kind of exit. We have had, you know, our first managed office, which is Microsoft, which was a 5-year contract. We've seen a further 5+5 renewal already happen on that contract. So we've continued with the real estate. We've continued, sort of like billing them. We've given them the benefit of, you know, the capex sort of like being paid off and reduced that from their total outlay. But other than that, we continue to, you know, operate that space and continue to make the margin that we would have.
So in terms of refurbishment, I mean, we are not specifically doing anything when the client is renewing. I mean, is that understanding correct? Or we do, like, you know, minimal amount?
Yeah, as we run the WeWork side of the portfolio or these branded spaces, we do regular refurbishments, you know, at intervals of, right now we're doing it at year 6 and 7 of, you know, a lot of those spaces where we're basically putting in anywhere between 5 to 10% of the initial capex back into the space. When it comes to managed offices, I would say that typically, like, the next customer has a higher ask in terms of what they want, how they want to customize the space. So it's potentially another opportunity for this customization revenue that we've kind of spoken about, where we will be able to refurb and, you know, do it based on the designs that these kind of companies ask for. And that will be driven by the customer or the next customer if and when they choose to kind of take up that space.
Understood. Yeah, that's helpful. 5 to 10%, like regular, like refurb, that goes. Yeah, that's clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I will now hand the conference back to Mr. Karan Virwani for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Great. I want to thank you all for joining this quarter's earnings call. Like we said, you know, the business is in extremely strong momentum. We're actually leading, you know, the flex industry, which is now really, you know, the showstopper amongst commercial real estate. We continue to be the market leaders in that space. And the way that the underlying business is growing just on a year-over-year basis, the demand pipeline that we see, and the control on costs and the ability to expand the margins that will happen through the year, we feel confident about FY27 being another strong year for the business, and leading that into FY28 as well. So you will see over the next few quarters, you know, some of the sequential noise will play itself out. The year-over-year growth will continue to compound, and we're here committed to actually deliver, you know, for shareholder returns. And we just want to thank you all for trusting us over the last quarter or so. You know, we've meaningfully improved the picture of the stock, and we've seen a lot of uptick. And we hope we want to continue that momentum as the year kind of goes by.
Thank you, members of the management. Thank you, sir. On behalf of WeWork India Management Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may disconnect your lines now. Thank you.